So hello everyone, and thank you for joining us today on our March session of the Azure Networking Deep Dive. I am Sally Mahamda, I'm a networking pre-sales engineer, and I am here today with some of my colleagues, Christophe, Federico, Gerald, Simona, and Richard. So a very quick introduction for those who are not familiar with this series. So we are the EMEA sales specialists, and our goal is to help you better understand the way networking works in Azure and how you can plan and decide your connectivity to the cloud. So there is a readiness plan. We actually had some sessions starting October. And ideally, if you can watch this series starting October, you would basically have a plan that walks you from the simplest and, let's say, basic notions of Azure Virtual Networking to more complex scenarios. Today we're going to speak about one of our advanced networking technologies, and watching the previous sessions would probably help you to understand it better. In terms of how this works, we do a session once per month. We do it via Skype. We started in October and our last one will probably be in June. In terms of the time, it's mostly friendly for EMEA because we're all based in EMEA, but we are more than happy to share the recordings on Channel 9 after this and really share them with anybody who would like to watch this, even from outside of the region. In terms of the format, we do have sometimes a business overview with Christophe or Richard, and most of the times we try to really give you a focus on the technical part. In terms of the audience, everybody's welcome, customers and partners and also Microsoft employees. So this is a very quick reminder of the past sessions we've already had. In October, we covered the basics of Azure Virtual Networking, and in November, we explained how you can secure virtual networking. In December, we explained how interconnectivity works, and in January, we covered hybrid cloud connectivity options. We explained how VPN works and how ExpressRoute works, and that's probably the transition to this session today. We also had a session in February with one of our program managers from Corp, and he explained the new virtual data center approach. Today we complete all of this by explaining how you can implement ExpressRoute and give you more information on the technical side. This is the planning for this quarter. We still have three more sessions to go, and if you're interested to have the future invites, just send me an empty email to sallym@microsoft.com, and if you can add the subject Azure Networking Deep Dive, I'll make sure you are invited to the next sessions. And the recordings. There are two ways of finding the recordings. You can either use this link, or more simply, you just go on Channel 9 and you look for the Azure Networking Deep Dive. And when you type that, you will have all of our sessions, and you will see the ones that we have already done. This one will be uploaded by tomorrow night or end of day, and you will be able to also watch it starting tomorrow. So today, our speaker is Gerald. He is a networking specialist. Gerald, you can take over if you want, and also make sure you take over as presenter to be able to move the slides.
Yeah, I just took over as presenter. Thanks a lot, Sally. Yeah, also warmly welcome from my side today to our session where I'm going to talk a little bit more about the implementation of ExpressRoute. And my first question would be, are you also suffering from Fourier? So let's go ahead and ask for it. Fourier, what is it and what are the symptoms actually? The definition of Fourier is it's the fear of implementing ExpressRoute, and we see sometimes symptoms at customer that stop them from implementing ExpressRoute. Some of these symptoms are that customers are afraid of having highly available connections to Azure. They're dealing with VPNs. They're trying to set up BGP with highly available VPN connections, which you can, of course, do and which will give you a very good connectivity. But still, you won't get an SLA, and you will stuck into the 200 megabit limit of the high-performance gateways that are today available in Azure. So other things we see is that customers fear of long implementation cycles for an ExpressRoute circuit. Well, this may happen because it's not all done in software. There are some hardware things. I'm going to cover this a little bit later. But basically, this is something that could happen, but there are many implementations which are really quick implemented or which are really short implemented and help customers to use the full benefits of ExpressRoute. In addition, customers think always that ExpressRoute is difficult to implement. Not only customers do, though, either Microsoft employees do this, and also Microsoft partners do this. While peering, whether it's a Microsoft peering or a public Azure peering, but in general, all these things could be solved, and most customers can still implement ExpressRoute, and it's not that difficult as it looks at the beginning. Other things is that believing that ExpressRoute is expensive. Of course, if you just take the ExpressRoute itself, it is expensive, at least more expensive than a VPN connection. But if you take all into account what you'll gain from an ExpressRoute connection, and also think about all the stuff you need on premises to establish a highly available VPN tunnel, saying you need 2 redundant routers or firewalls, you need at least 200 megabit additional bandwidth with your internet connectivity 2 times. If you all take this into account, it may be that this is on par with a VPN. Still, if it's a little bit more expensive, you'll also get at least a higher SLA, or you can get at least an SLA. And of course, you can get up to 10 gigabit of ExpressRoute performance. Last but not least, it's the belief that BGP is very complex. So BGP is a protocol, and as many things, you need to think about it and learn a little bit about. BGP is the border gateway protocol, which we use to establish a highly available connection between your network via ExpressRoute to us. So this will not only give you the confidence that this is a high available connection, it also gives you some advantages, like that you can exceed the purchased port speed that you have once. So all these things are typical symptoms for fear of implementing ExpressRoute. So, but basically, we're here to help, and we'll go through this in the next couple of slides, and I hope we can bring a little bit more light into the ExpressRoute area and you learn how to implement it and understand that the implementation is not difficult and that other things shouldn't stop you from using ExpressRoute. So let's start with implementing ExpressRoute. First of all, I want to take a couple of minutes just to talk about the ExpressRoute deployment models. This is a very important topic which you need to know, because there are different ways to implement ExpressRoute, and you should think about what's the best way for you to use ExpressRoute and connect to Azure. So basically, there are 3 options available. So the first option is a cloud exchange co-location. This means you're using a co-location partner like Equinix, Interaction, eShelter, or Telecity, and you're going to establish a connection to this, we call it exchange provider. So basically, you're going to have a provider that is not an ExpressRoute provider, but you still want to use ExpressRoute. So you're going to talk to your provider to get a connection between your on-premises network or your on-premises data center and the Equinix or eShelter or Interaction data center, which is closest to you, and they'll handle the service ExpressRoute for you and give you the cross-connectivity to Azure. Then you could also use a point-to-point Ethernet connection. Some providers can give you point-to-point Ethernet connections. That means that you'll get physically 2 connections from the provider, whether they are presented with a router or they gave you the raw, and then you start configuring your service on it. So it's the same for both models, that you are in charge of configuring the services on top, whether you're using a public peering, a private peering, or a Microsoft peering. You are responsible for configuring all the services on top. The last option is an any-to-any connection, also known as MPLS. So if you already have an MPLS connection, Azure could become an additional site for you. This is usually called a network service provider setup or also a layer 3 setup. So you don't have to worry about how is the routing done, how do I establish the connection, stuff like that. All this the provider will take care of, usually. So, but how are the these different models implemented? In the Cloud Exchange colocation, as mentioned before, for example, Interaction, eShelter, or Equinix, you just organize a line to this, order a line from your provider to the Exchange provider, and put your own routers in the Exchange location or on-prem. In the aggregation platform, you're going to hand over a cable or cables are handed over to you. And in the Cloud Exchange is configured that over these cables, you'll use a connection to Azure via Express Route. So from that part, Equinix or eShelter or Interaction, then the Exchange partner has actually a connectivity to our network. And so you get the end-to-end connectivity. Then there's the point-to-point Ethernet connections. It's from the logical part of view, it's similar to the Exchange provider, but you will get an end-to-end service saying that you just own the routers which are on-prem, and the provider hands over not two cables in the Exchange location. He actually hands over the cables or the connection to your premises directly. So you don't have to worry about how do you actually get a connection to an Exchange location, but the provider will take care of all the stuff end to end. If you're in the lucky position that you already have an MPLS backbone and you have connected multiple sites, Azure can become a part of your IPVPN, saying Azure will be one site within your IPVPN. So this means everything that you have to do is simply talk to your provider and he'll establish a layer 3 connection to Azure and take care of the rest. Typical partners for this are AT&T or BT. They offer the whole service and you can connect through Azure as a data center extension. Another thing I want to talk about before I dive a little bit deeper are the different express route peerings. I already talked about BGP and different peerings. So let's take a deeper look on it, what it is actually. As you may know, Microsoft not only has Azure as cloud service, and Azure is not only the cloud service, it also gives you different cloud services like platform as a service, services like SQL database, for example, but as well infrastructure as a service, services like you're having your own virtual machine in Azure. In addition, Microsoft has, of course, software as a service offering, also known as Office 365. So basically, if you establish a connection to the Microsoft Edge, let's call it our network, through a partner edge, which is whether it's an Exchange provider or a network service provider, the partner who gives you actually access to our network. You can also configure different so-called peerings to the different services that the Microsoft Cloud offers. For example, you can have Azure Private BGP session so that you can actually use to connect to your infrastructure as a service, virtual networks and virtual machine running in Azure. As mentioned before, we not only have platform as a infrastructure as a service, we also have platform as a service services, which you can connect to over the Azure public peering. So it gives you the option to directly access services like Azure SQL DB, Azure websites, and other stuff. Last but not least, there's the option to connect to the Microsoft peering, which gives you access to the Microsoft SaaS services. Saying this, this is Office 365, Dynamics CRM, for example. So as you can see, ExpressRoute not only gives you access to one service, it could give you access to all Microsoft Cloud services we are offering today. So what do you need actually to use these different peering types? So first of all, if you want to have a private peering, you need an IP address range, which is public or private. We don't care actually which IP addresses you're using in Azure, so you can choose to use public or private IP addresses. The same is for the AS number. The AS number is the automatic number. This is a number that is used for the routing protocol that you have between Azure and your on-prem network. There is no special requirement for the ASN because you can use a private ASN, and so you don't have to be the owner. There's only one thing you need to keep in mind when you're using private AS numbers. But the AS number is 65,515 to 65,520 are actually reserved for Microsoft and cannot be used. And you don't need an approval from Microsoft for using the private peering. The second peering is the public peering. As mentioned before, this gives you access to the Azure Platform as a Service services. And to establish a connection to our public services, because the PaaS services are actually running in the public network of Microsoft, you need to have public IP addresses. These could be from your address space. So saying you own your own public IP address space and it is registered in one of the network registrars. Or you can use a partner or provider provided IP address range. For the AS number, you can use a private or a public AS. Very important, if you use the private, if you use a public AS, it must be owned by you or by the partner. So in addition, you don't need approval of this peering. The third peering we actually offer is the Microsoft peering. As mentioned before, the Microsoft peering gives you access to the software as a service services from Microsoft. Basically, of course, you're also accessing services that are publicly available also over the internet. You need to have public IP addresses. Again, these must belong to you or they must belong to a partner. The AS number could be, again, private or public, and the AS owner is also a private, of course, there needs no owner, and the public is customer or partner owned. So you or the partner must own the AS number. So for this, you need an approval because we saw in the past that customers had difficulties to implement, and with this approval, we want to ensure that customers have the best experience while using Microsoft peering for connectivity to Office 365, and they have taken all into account. Again, just a short notice on the public peerings in general. Whether it's a Microsoft or a public peering, the implementation can be very difficult, and it can take a lot of time, especially if you don't plan in advance and if you don't have the right resources on board. Planning is absolutely crucial here, and we advise you that you're going to work with a partner or with Microsoft to establish this Microsoft or public peering. So, what is important before implementation? So, considerations before ordering. So first of all, you need to think about the peering location. Sorry. Not always the nearest location is the best location. It depends basically where the service is running you're using and which, where you can get the best connectivity to. But most of the time, it's the closest location. But still, you need to think about the peering location. The second thing you need to think about and you need to that you need to keep in mind is the number of express route circuits and locations. So for example, if you're a multinational customer and you have subsidiaries in different countries, it may be necessary or it may be a good idea to have more than one express route circuit. For example, you have a subsidiary in the US and you have Azure services running in the US as well as in Europe, and you have a subsidiary in Europe. So with only one express route circuit, let's say in Europe, you'll have the problem that if you want to access the services running in the US in your own virtual network, the traffic from the US will always traverse to Europe and go back over our backbone to your VNet or to your services in the US. So you will double up the latency at least. So this may have an impact on the user experience. The third thing is to think about how you're going to route the traffic through your network to express route location. This is especially important if you have multiple subsidiaries in different locations. Then think about how many VNets do you need to connect. So some customers tend to have more than one virtual network in Azure because there are different things why you implement more than one virtual network. Not only because of you're using different locations, but also because you want to have separation between virtual networks and other things. So you may have to connect to more than 10 to more virtual networks. Without the Express Route Premium add-on, you can only add 10 virtual networks or connect to 10 virtual networks from your Express Route circuit. If you want to connect to more, you need to have the Premium add-on. The Premium add-on will give you, depending on the bandwidth, up to 100 connectivity to up to. So if you have a 10 gigabit connection, you can connect up to 100 VNets. For example, if you have the premium add-on and a 50 megabit connection, you can connect 25 VNets instead of 10. And so it's always going up, the number of VNets you can connect with the bandwidth you're actually having. And of course, last but not least, the regions where the VNets are located. This goes back to number one of number two. So you need to think about what's the best way to get to my servers. Ordering. Basically, ordering is very easy. You go to the Express Route portal, you go to the Azure portal, create a new Azure Express Route circuit, and then you create the circuit, receive a service key, and then you can start to order. Since Azure is completely software defined, this is just a thing of minutes. After minutes, our Edge network is ready for your partner to do the logical connection to our network or between your and our network. But since the whole world is not only running on software, there's a lot of hardware dependency. There may be different things that also needs to be considered. So first of all, you need to choose which provider you want to use. So you should get in touch with your local or preferred provider or providers that you have today, because they may already be an Express Route partner and give you direct connectivity. Of course, we also have a list of Express Route partners available on our page. So there you can find the locations and the partners. Then you should think about, you need to get a quote before ordering. And then, of course, order the express route circuit through your preferred provider. Now coming back to the thing I said before, since we are software defined, Azure, the express route creation is really, really fast. But think about a provider that may put additional capacity into your building because you already use all the capacity that you have available on the fibers to your building. Or think about, you're going to have a new provider that says, I need to build up a new line to you. So this may take a couple of weeks or maybe months. So please keep that in mind because it's not all in software. Many providers, other providers may have to establish new things like a new connection to your building, or they may have to exchange equipment. One last point that I want to mention when you order the express route. Technically, you don't need to provide a service key to order an express route circuit with your provider. Still, there are some express route providers that say, we don't accept the order without the service key. So if providers are actually asked for it, just go for the lowest option you'll find, 50 megabit with a metered and with standard SKU. This will be very cheap. So this is an acceptable way to just give the express route partner the service key without burning too much money. So said some things about the service key. Let me explain what the service key is. The service key will be generated when you create the express route circuit in the Azure portal. I'll show you this later in a small demo. After creation of the service key, you must pass the service key to the provider. Let's call it some kind of authorization. So this service key authorizes the provider to access your logical circuit in Azure. So the authorization basically consists of the subscription ID, of course, of the location and the provider itself, and last but not least, on the service key. So taking all these things are like some kind of username and password for the express route circuit. So we'll make it really, really difficult to just try any combination out because you can't simply guess the service key. It's impossible. So this is the most secure way to connect to the services. Sometimes the service key is also called S key, or some providers call it a customer service ID. There also may be different names. Work with your providers or with the Microsoft team. We'll help you if there is any confusion. So when I said that you can always start with a small 50 megabit circuit and with standard SKU and with metered connection, this is just because you can always upgrade all the things of the all parameters of the express route circuit creating the service key. So you can increase the bandwidth, you can change from metered to unlimited, or you can also add the premium add-on. So you can then do this all on the fly later after you've created the express route circuit. There may be, so after the express route circuit is in service and you're using express route circuit, you can also always upgrade the circuit without service interruption. But please keep in mind, it may be that your service provider also needs to change some equipment. So saying if you have a 1 gigabit connection today and you want to go to a 10 gigabit connection, it may be that the service provider needs to change the equipment on-prem for you. So please keep in mind that there may be also some physical limits that have to be considered. So one thing when you create the express route circuit is I see a common pattern that customers tend to use, for example, an own subscription for the ExpressRoute circuit. If you think about that the ExpressRoute circuit is a crucial part of the connectivity to Azure, you may say, I want to have an additional security layer there. So one additional security layer may be an own subscription. So then you can limit the access to this subscription to really the absolutely necessary people. So you can do this because you can always authorize different virtual networks, or better said, virtual network gateways to your ExpressRoute circuit, up to the limit of the numbers of VNets you can actually connect to this circuit. As mentioned before, if you don't have the ExpressRoute Premium add-on, that's actually 10. Another thing, how to protect the access to the ExpressRoute circuit is by using resource groups and putting a role-based access control for this resource group. So it's a common practice in Azure to use resource groups and role-based access control to limit access to resources. But let's move a little bit forward and go to the ExpressRoute creation in the Azure portal. Just give me a second, I need to switch my screen. So, please give me a short Sally, can you see the presentation already?
Yes. Yes, it's working now.
Okay, great.
So we can see a portal and then the ER example creation.
Exactly. Perfect. I created a new dashboard so that you don't have to see my whole Charlotte desktop dashboard that I normally use. So I thought this is much better if you just see a blank screen here rather than my experimental dashboard. So I'm simply clicking, like with every resource in Azure, on new. And as you can see, I already have it in the recent items I just used. But if you don't have it, just click on networking, and you'll see all, or you'll see the featured networking apps. So I'm going to click ExpressRoute to start to configure the ExpressRoute circuit. So first of all, I can import an existing ExpressRoute circuit, especially if you're moving from a classic ExpressRoute circuit to an ARM circuit. You need the import. So since we're not importing, and I'm going to create a new one, I'm going to call this ERGBB demo. As a provider, and as you can see, we have lots of providers here available, I'm going to choose for today Equinix. So the reason I chose Equinix is not because they're better than others, it's just once that I can take. I could also have used others, but I know for sure that Equinix has also something in West Europe that I want to use.
Geralt,
so because the next,
Do you think there's any way of zooming a bit? We have a message from
who's saying
that it's a bit small. Oh, perfect.
Better?
I think this is great,
okay.
But if people can confirm where I am, I personally see it well. Thanks, Geralt. Please go on.
You're welcome.
That's better.
Okay, great. Thanks. So I'm going to choose as peering location Amsterdam. I'm located in Germany, so the next is for me Amsterdam. So, and as mentioned before, I'm going to choose bandwidth of 550 megabit. I'm going to use the standard SKU. You can also choose the premium SKU if you use, for example, more than 10 VNets, or You also need the premium add-on if you want to connect to other geopolitical regions, saying if you have a VNet in US and you want to connect from a peering location in Europe, you will leave the geopolitical region Europe and enter the geopolitical region or want to reach the geopolitical region US. So you need to have the premium add-on. Otherwise, you can only connect to a virtual network in Azure in your own region. So for now, I'm choosing the metered option because I know I can always upgrade it. The next thing is allow classic operation. If you still have VNets running in the classic model, ASM or RDFE, you have to check the allow classic operations. So next thing is you can choose a subscription. I have chosen my own internal Azure subscription. So if you have your own subscription just for Azure, choose the right one here. And I'm going to create a new resource group. I'm also going to call ERGBB demo. I'm now going to click create. And this will take a couple of minutes. As you can see, automation options. Of course, you can also use templates. Or, for example, PowerShell to create an ExpressRoute circuit. While the ExpressRoute circuit is created on our end, let me show you a new functionality in the Azure portal that we actually just implemented. It's the Bash shell that we have in the Azure portal. And if you're familiar with the Azure CLI, it's now available directly in the Azure portal. For example, I can show you how it would, from a logical point of view, look like if I'm going to create an ExpressRoute circuit. So as you can see, I just typed Azure Network ExpressRoute circuit, and I get also the different options that I have. And I can also create the circuit, get the statistics of the circuit, list the up tables, which may be interesting when you're troubleshooting. And these are the new features that we just implemented with the Azure CLI. So if you're usually a CLI user, then this may be a handy method to work directly and interact with Azure from the portal. So you don't need to SSH in, just open the portal. And as you may have seen, the deployment has succeeded and we now have here the newly created ExpressRoute circuit. I'm going to close this now, and I'm going to the ExpressRoute circuit. So, as you can see, the ExpressRoute circuit is created, and it's awaiting to be provisioned with a provider. So, you can now start, after creating the circuit, you can now start to initiate the provisioning process with your service provider. So, you can just hand over the subscription ID and the service key to your provider so that he can start to establish the service. From Azure side, it's now enabled. One thing I want to show you, which I usually recommend customers to do first, is to create a lock on the ExpressRoute circuit, because this will mean that it will your users prevent them from accidentally removing the ExpressRoute circuit. As mentioned before, if you have an ExpressRoute circuit, the connectivity is very crucial for you. It's a redundant circuit, but if you delete it, then the connectivity will be lost. So I'm going to add a resource lock and say, okay, I want to prevent deletion of the circuit, and I'm going to call it don't delete. So this is a common good practice just to add at first a lock so that it's not could not be deleted accidentally. Still, you can go ahead and delete the lock, but it's more or less only that nothing can happen accidentally. So when the circuit is provisioned and it's actually stated in a provider status, you can start to configure the peerings. So as said before, the peerings are actually represent the connection to the different cloud services. Although I can't configure actually the peering itself, I can show you how it will look like. So as I said before in this presentation, you can have the peer AS number, which is probably a private AS number for your private peering. The primary and the secondary subnet, these are /30 networks that you can choose from your own IP address range. So from these /30 networks, always the first IP address. So you just give here the subnet. You just configure the subnet in this fields. So because we know the first IP address of the two available IP addresses in a /30 network will belong to you. We'll take automatically the second one. And the secondary subnet, of course, is the same. You're going to take the first one. Azure is automatically taking the second one of the two available IP addresses in the /30 network. Then you need to configure a VLAN ID. So actually, you'll get one physical or two physical cables from your provider or two ports from your provider that actually represents the redundant configuration of the express route, but also all the connections to the public, private, and Microsoft peering. So if you only have one cable, you need to configure some kind of multi network on it. So this is where the VLANs come into place. Each peering will be represented by a known VLAN. This is something you can choose. So just type in a VLAN ID that's going to match later on your customer premises equipment. Last but not least, you can enter a shared key for BGP authentication. After all is done, you can say save, and it will create the peering type that you actually chose with the given parameters. If you have created the Azure public private peering, you need to create a virtual network gateway. A virtual network gateway will actually create the connectivity to your Azure VNet. It's the virtual network gateway to your VNet. So again, you're going to add this from the marketplace, again over networking, and you will have the Azure Virtual Network Gateway. As you can see, there are different types. You can choose express route. You can have, again, a name. And important to know is that you have different SKUs. So this is basically the size of the gateway. So what does it mean? The standard gateway will represent a connection of 1 gigabit. The high-performance gateway has a throughput of 2 gigabit. And the ultra-performance gateway will give you a throughput of up to 10 gigabit. You can always upgrade from standard to high-performance, but please keep in mind that if you want to upgrade to ultra-performance, that's unfortunately not possible. You need to delete the gateway and recreate an ultra-performance gateway. So this will mean that you will have some kind of the gateway is created. It will be around about 45 minutes to an hour. So then you choose actually the virtual private network you're connecting to. And you need to create a virtual, and you need to create a public IP address. Again, you're asked for the subscription. The resource group where this gateway will belong to will be actually from the resource group you chose the virtual network. I'm not going to create the gateway because right now, without having a complete express route connection available, you wouldn't see how it will fit into the whole picture. So let me go back to the express route circuit that we just created and give you the last part that you need to create the connection between your Azure express route circuit and the VNet gate and your virtual network. It's done by associating a connection between your express route circuit that I'm right now and the gateway. So if the circuit is provisioned and I have created a virtual network gateway, I would be able to add this gateway to my connection, and then I'll have the connection here available as the connection to my private Azure network. So this will represent my Azure VNet connection. So this is all the magic that is behind the ExpressRoute configuration. I hope you found this useful, and I hope I was able to clarify a little bit of the mystics of creating and configuring an ExpressRoute circuit. So I'm going to stop now sharing, and I think we can take some questions.
Thank you so much, Gerald. This was great. So we had a lot of questions, and we tried with Christoph to answer most of them. Maybe a couple that we can maybe just emphasize on. Can you please explain why we see price differences between the different provider models? Can you just explain the way this works very quickly? So between the exchange provider model and the telco model, so people were asking, where would be, like, would you have differences in prices? Why? And how do people choose? How do they pick up a provider? How do they make that selection?
So this is a good question. So basically, the exchange provider will not give you an end-to-end service. So their service will end in their, let's call, colocation data center. The network service provider will give you a service, let's say, to your on-premises. So you don't have to worry about having a connection between your site and the exchange provider. So if you're already using one of the exchange providers, it's the easiest to use this exchange provider as also your ExpressRoute provider. Sometimes there are also customers that combine offerings. For example, they have an existing IPVPN or an MPLS, and they say, I don't want to connect directly to Azure. I don't want to connect to an exchange provider and connect there my ExpressRoute circuit. This is not very common, but this is also something I already saw in the past with customers, especially if the ExpressRoute, if the service provider could not establish a full ExpressRoute connection end to end, because they are not ExpressRoute provider as of today. Pricing is very difficult and very different, to be honest. My recommendation is always to ask more than one partner maybe, or just explore different connectivity options that you may have and that may give you the best option to connect to the Azure cloud. I hope this answers a little bit the question.
Yeah, thank you. That's great. So there's another question from Robert. So they already have a VPN connection, an existing one, and he's asking if he can add ExpressRoute, but also if he can decide, so basically configure this in an active-passive mode. So he would like ExpressRoute to fail over VPN, and he's asking if there would be an issue.
No, you can use VPN as backup for ExpressRoute. The only thing that is important is you need to firstly create the ExpressRoute gateway, the virtual network gateway as ExpressRoute gateway, and then you can add the VPN connection on top of it. And you can also use this as backup for the ExpressRoute circuit.
In Robert's case, where the VPN was created first,
in this case, I'm sorry, you have to first tear down the VPN and have to recreate first the ExpressRoute gateway and then add the VPN functionality to the ExpressRoute gateway.
Mm-hmm. Great. So there will be downtime. You confirm.
Yes, I can confirm. This is exactly what will happen. But there are some tricks that you can use, because you can set up the – that was just an idea. No, that's not working. I thought it's possible, but it's not. No, sorry. You have a downtime of I would say 45 minutes for recreation of the gateway to 1 hour. Exactly. I would have a maintenance window of 2 hours to do this.
Makes sense. Okay, the last question, just to be respectful of time. So there was a question earlier about the difference, the gap in the bandwidth. So basically, if you pick up a 50 megabit per second on our side, and then you pick up a different bandwidth on the provider's side, let's say less, 20, 30, etc. The question was, what would be the impact if I'm not perfectly aligned on the provider side and on the Microsoft side in terms of bandwidth?
So basically what could happen is that packets get dropped because of the bandwidth is not enough.
Mm-hmm.
But basically internet or basically connections are optimized, especially the protocols like TCP are optimized to also take care about different bandwidths in the path. And so packets will be retransmitted, but if you see a high retransmission rate, this will mean also that your performance will suffer from it. So, but basically, you should observe packet loss and stuff like this and decide based on this whether you need to upgrade the bandwidth underneath the circuit as well. So this is something you should keep in mind.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, great. Well, thank you so much, Gural, and thank you so much, everyone. We will post the recording tomorrow by the end of the day. If you would like to get the PDF that Gural presented and created for today, just make sure you send me an email and I will send it back. Thank you so much for your time and see you in our next session.
Thanks for joining. Have a great day. Bye.